I wanted to teach a niggun that some of you might know it. Certainly these are words that we know from Friday night davening. Some think that Friday night davening ends at Maariv, but it actually continues into the meal. During the Zemiras of Shabbos, we sing a beautiful zemer called Karibon. There are different tunes and different explanations of the zemer. What's so beautiful about the zemer is that the various paragraphs that make up the song spell out the word Yisrael, Jewish people. So in the second to last paragraph, we'll just read it together and then we'll try to learn it. The Paitan wrote, Prok yas'anach. Prok yas'anach mipum arivasa. Hashem should save his sheep, his flock, from the mouth of the lion, from the mouth of the Aryeh. Va'apek yas'amech migoy galusa. And bring the Jewish people finally at long last out of Galus. Amech dibachart mikol umaya. The nation that you chose over all the other nations. Amech dibachart mikol umaya. The nation that you chose over all other nations. When Yaakov Avinu tells the Shivteka to gather together so that he can give his final blessings before he dies, before he leaves the world. So Yaakov Avinu tells the Shivteka that they should gather together. Knos. They should all gather so he could speak of what's going to be at the end of days, and then he gives brachos to each of the Shvatim. And the Zohar Kaddish says that embedded within what Yaakov Avinu is telling the Jewish people, that part of the bracha itself is knos, that they should be able to come together. And specifically, the Zohar says that from here we see that it's very important for people to daven with a minyan. You have to daven with a minyan. When a Jew gathers together with the Am Hanivchar, Amech divechart mikol umaya, the nation which is chosen above all other nations, that means that every single individual is chosen by Hashem. Every single Jewish person as an individual is chosen by Hashem. The more that he sees himself as being part of the nation, the more that he or she is able to see herself as being part of the umaya, part of the people. Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Lomhava, like the Rebbe of Melech said, that there's a place in the world, there's a place in the upper Olamos which is called Kol Yisrael, and in that place there is no such thing as chet. Like the Maharal says, that any chet that a Jew ever did from the beginning of time until the end of time is only b'mikra. It's not what the Jewish person is really all about. Like the Chidishurim said, that the reason we go to the mikvah before Shabbos is because we have to convert the part of us that did averus during the week, because Goy Shabbos Chayav Misa, non Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And a Jew never did an avera. Any avera that we did during the week is not really coming from that part of us, which is the Am HaNivchar. Hashem should save us from the mouths of the lion and bring the Geula Shlema. Amech Dibachart Mikul Maya. Da 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 di dai 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 di di da da da
I am evil, oh my love, I must love.
Sorry that I'm sick. But it's been a long go. About all our special guests. A lot of them, too many to name. Pasuk says, that as he's nearing the end of his life, Yosef brings Ephraim and Menashe to get a bracha from Stati, from the Zayde. And when he brings in Ephraim and Menashe, so Yaakov's reaction is a little bit strange. Pasuk says that when Yosef walked in, Yaakov says to Yosef, "Mi ele? Who are these? Who are these children that you're bringing to me? Mi ele? Vayar Yisrael's bnei Yosef ve'omer mi ele? Who are these?" Rashi says, "Mi ele?" Very painful words. Mi ele? Who are these two? She'inam ru'i in the bracha. Came to bring me two children. You want me to give them a bracha? Einin ru'in lebracha. So the Kiddush Tzion from Babov, Hashem in Komdomov Zchuski and Leinu, taught that Chas v'Shalom to say about Ephraim and Menashe. Every Friday night when I bless my son, and when we bless our sons, we bless them to be like Ephraim and Menashe. Chalila to say that these are not right to bracha. How could that be? Can't give a bracha to these two. So the Baba Rebbe, Kiddush Tzion, said that when a child reaches the age of 13, the father is no longer held responsible for the sins of his son. He writes that he once saw an old parish on Tehillim, that's what he wrote. In an old parish on Tehillim, on the words, Holech Yelech Uvacha Nose Meshech Hazara Bo Yavo Verina Nose Alumosav. Holech Yelech Uvacha, that a father, while the child is still growing up, Holech Yelech Uvacha, he's going together with the child, he's raising the child, and he's boche, he's crying. He's crying over and over again because he's Nose Meshech Hazara. He is Nose the sins of his child. But then, Bo Yavo Verina Nose Alumosav. Bo, when the child is Yavo, Bigmatria 13, when the child reaches the age of 13, Bo Yavo, so then the father can begin to rejoice because Nose Alumosav, because the son has to carry his own weight. So when a father has the opportunity to raise a child to the age of 13, and he makes the bracha, baruch, we don't say the bracha b'shem malchus, because it's a little bit of a suffix, and I'll explain to you, I'll be pnimius, why we don't make the bracha. We say, baruch shepetrani mi'onchel shalzeh. Father says, blessed are you Hashem, that I am no longer responsible for carrying the onesh of this child. The Bavar said that when Yaakov Inu saw Ephraim and Menashe, he was astonished. He said, who are these children? Who are not ru'uyin lebracha? Who are these children who you can't make the bracha of Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Shoshalzeh on these two children because there's no sins? Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Shoshalzeh. And Yosef answers, he says, Tati, you think that's something big? You know they were born in Mitzrayim, right? You know these children were born in Mitzrayim, and yet, we could still say this about them. So it's true that, perhaps, Api Niglas HaTorah, the reason we don't make the bracha of Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Shoshalzeh is based on the idea that brachos, which don't appear within the Talmud itself, there are those who were skeptical about whether we should say such brachos. But I would humbly argue that there are other brachos that we do say, Shem Uvu Malchus, and yet this is one that we do not. The Pashtus, I think, is because one of the big yisodos in Chinuch is that how could a father say the bracha Shem Uvu Malchus, Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Shoshalzeh? When a father is looking at his children, it has to be that he has to see in them the potential that this child could be absolutely blameless and faultless and sinless. And like we were saying before, anything which might seem to be not going right is either a reflection of what the Piazetzner wrote about unripe fruit in the Chovas HaTalmidim, that the fruit is perfectly fine, it just needs some time to develop, it's not ripe yet, or maybe it was my fault that I didn't create the right environment. Or maybe I'm misjudging the character of this child. But to be successful as a parent, or as a friend, or as a Rebbe, like we spoke about a few weeks ago, that Yosef was able to Vayimain, because Yaakov was Vayimain, and he believed that he wouldn't. It's impossible for Yosef to be utterly dead and utterly destroyed. So Yosef took that in Vayimain, and he rejected the advances of Eshes Potiphar. A father can't possibly look at a child and say, Baruch Shepetrani Mi'on Shoshalze. It doesn't work like that. So we know that when Yaakov Avinu blesses Ephraim and Menashe, another mysterious thing that he does is he switches his hands. He switches his hands so that his right hand goes on the younger son and his left hand goes on the older son. And Yosef tries to correct him, and it's a whole. So many, many years ago, we learned together, some of us, Hashem Yishmor taught that the name Menashe, who was the first child born to Yosef in Mitzrayim, Menashe is a lashon of Hashem forgot me. It's a negative lashon. Not negative in the sense of Yosef didn't really think Hashem forgot him, but look at my suffering, look at my misfortune. Whereas Ephraim is a lashon of pri, of being successful, of peiros. And Yosef thought, just like we all think most of the time, that the derech in Avodas Hashem is, like David HaMelech said, and David HaMelech knew what he was talking about also, that there's a derech in Avodas Hashem of sor meirav ase tov. First you have to remove yourself, Menashe, and then Ephraim. First you have to remove yourself from the negative behavior. And after you stop doing bad things, then you could worry about putting on some jewelry and doing some nice things and making yourself, making sure you're... It doesn't make much sense to tuck in your shirt if there's a huge stain on it. Unless the stain is, I guess, on the part that you're tucking in. It doesn't make much sense to tuck in your shirt if there's a humongous mustard stain right on the shirt pocket. So sur meira, first change your shirt. And then asitov, and then you can tuck it in or not tuck it in. I'm not advocating tucking in shirts here, chas v'shalom. But if you want to look a certain way, so first you have to get rid of the external sur meira, and then you can asitov. But Yaakov Avinu looked far, far into the future. This is one of the reasons we also bless our children with the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. Because when a father looks at his children and he's unable to see blame in the child, he also has to know that how difficult it is for a person to grow up, even at the age of almost 33. Hashem looks down and he knows how difficult it is. And that Yaakov Avinu was called Kel. Hashem called Yaakov Kel, which means that whatever is happening with Yaakov, Hashem is also doing with us. And Hashem, vis-a-vis Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayechi is revealing to us that there's a second derech in Avodas Hashem, which is where sometimes, especially when you're dealing with exile, whether geographical or spiritual, sometimes when we're dealing with exile, so the proper derech is to switch hands so that the strong hand, the right hand, is on top of Ephraim before the left hand is on top of Menashe. Sometimes you have to start with what's going right and you have to start with good. And from the place of doing the right thing, a person will get fed up with having stained clothing. A person will get fed up with not saying the right things. Because the koach of Ephraim to bring good to the world is so much stronger than anything that we're doing wrong. So just on a personal note, it's a very heartening thing to see so many people who I don't get to see all the time. Sometimes there's those who I only get to see once a week, sometimes there's those who I only get to see once or twice a year. But you could believe me or you could not believe me, but there's a bechina of mi eile. Mi Ela, who are these people who are not Roy Lebracha of Baruch Shepetrana Milan Shoshalzeh? Bemet. Mi Ela. How a person could grow to be so strong in a world which is so antithetical to everything we're trying to do, and people are looking at us like we're strange, and we are strange. Should take comfort in the fact that one day we won't be so strange. People will be asking us, how do you do this? Show me how to do this. We'll grab onto our tzitzis and we'll take them to your shalayim and we'll show them how to do it. Who says? Sin Yerushalayim, let's think about a place outside of Yerushalayim. It's a Torah from the Meir Einei Chachamim, Hastravtzer. For those that are not familiar with the Hastravtzer, I'll just tell you a story. I have to know the story. His father was a baker. He was not a Rebbe. I would hesitate to say a simple baker because there's nothing simple about being a baker. So, his father was a baker and he was an exceptional child, an exceptionally bright child. And one of the games that they used to play at these schools where exceptionally bright children used to go, which oftentimes these were the children of great tzaddikim, of big rabbis. So one of the games that the kids used to play, which was not such a nice game, is they would stand around in a circle, especially when the Ashtravtzer was around, because they knew. And they'd say over a teaching that your father said. What did your father say by Shal Shudis last week? What's like your father's go-to teaching? And they would all go around and say, and they knew when they got to the Ashtravtzer, but at that time was not the Ashtravtzer. So then when they got to him, what's he going to say? His father was a baker. He was a simple but pious Jew. So one day they were playing this game, and when it got to the turn of the Ashtravtzer, he said, you know, my father did teach me something. He said, sometimes I would walk into the bakery and it would smell so good. It would smell like the challahs for Shabbos, or it would smell like, you know, making some cookies, some cakes, and it would smell so good in the bakery, you know, the bakery smell. And he'd walk in and he'd say, Abba, could you open the oven? I want to see the cookies. I want to see the challahs. And his father said, my sweet child, don't you know that when something is hot inside, he said, if you open the oven too quickly, it'll spoil the bread, it'll spoil the cakes, it'll spoil the cookies. There won't be a proper air distribution, and you know the hot air will escape, and then it'll spoil the whatever it is you're trying to make. So the Ashtravtzer, and you could be sure this was the last time these kids messed with him. He said, you know, sometimes the person can be filled with all types of hislavus and chamimus, warmth from previous generations, but it, you know, if you open the oven too quickly, if you open your mouth too quickly to try to say fancy things, it could be that all the hot air will come out, and then you'll spoil the baked goods that are baking inside. He was a sharp kid, and had to take care of himself. So the Ashtravtzer has a Torah on this week's Parsha where he's talking about the painful words of Rashi, that Lama Parsha Zustuma, why is this Parsha Sasum? Because since the Jewish people are devastated, we're going into exile. Since Hashem and the Jewish people and the Torah are all one, so the Jewish people are devastated as they're going into exile. Libam v'neim shal Yisrael. The hearts and the eyes of the Jewish people are being stuffed up because of the exile. And the Torah reacts to that. And just like the Jewish people are feeling stuffy and closed in, whereas the Torah normally has a little bit of space in between the parshios, a little air to breathe, when the Jewish people are being constricted, the Torah gets constricted along with us. So, the Ashkenazim said, as we said before, you know, never be satisfied. If you ever come across anything in the Torah that sounds like something's dark, the Torah comes from a lashon of ora. It comes from a lashon of hora, but it also comes from a lashon of ora. The or hagonus, which was hidden away for the tzaddik masad lavo, was hidden inside the Torah. So the Torah is kula or. And the fact that the Torah is closing in to reflect the fact that the Jewish people are going into exile cannot be totally bad. So the Ashtrafzer says, you know, when you want to be able to get back from exile, so there needs to be a path back. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a linguistic bridge that the Pesukim continue from Eretz Yisrael and Vayigash, the Jewish people were still in Eretz Yisrael. When we left Eretz Yisrael, so we enter Vayechi, we come into Mitzrayim, and now we're in Golos, but the Torah is Mamshech to make it one Ratzifus, one straight shot. Parshios of in Eretz Yisrael, Parshios outside of Eretz Yisrael. That somehow by connecting these Parshios together, it's almost like we never even went into exile in the first place. Almost. It's almost like we never went into exile in the first place. Because if we want to crawl back to Eretz Yisrael, we can crawl back in through the letters. There's no break. You don't need to build a bridge. Hashem made the bridge there for us. Tafka this week, we just had Sar B'Teves, and we spoke a lot about trying to avert destruction before that even happens. The Sar B'Teves, what happened? Sach HaKol, the walls were surrounded. If there were guns, not a gun was shot. There weren't. Not a drop of blood was spilled. The wall was surrounded. And we have a chance to fix everything. And in many ways, Vayechi is the same thing. Vayechi is kula Vayechi. It's kula life-giving. Because in these parshios, if we read them with some sensitivity and if we daven, so these are parshios which are mesugal to daven to Hashem, to be able to crawl back in through the layers of the Torah into Eretz Yisrael. That Yaakov Avinu makes Yosef swear that he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, that his end will be in Eretz Yisrael. The Rav Shitzer, not in this parsha, it's actually in Parshas Vayetze, but it's Nogea. The bracha that Yaakov gives to Yosef, specifically not to Ephraim and Menashe. Pasuk says we're all called Bnei Yosef. We're all, even if we're not, descendant of Yosef. to a certain extent, Yosef is supposed to be the fourth of the Avos. Exactly pan out that way, but we're still called Bnei Yosef in many respects. Hashem is talking to the whole Jewish people. He says, "Habein Yakir Li Ephraim." So when Yaakov blesses Yosef, he says about him, "Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ali Ayin." Gemara says, "Al tikra ale ayin ela ole ayin." Yosef HaTzadik is not affected by ayin hara. the Inyan of Ayin Hara is not sholit on the Ben Yosef. So the Rav Shitzer says that when he was a young child, in the Zohar Kodesh Parshas Vayetze, he says, when I was a young child, I heard a segula from the older tzaddikim, that when a person feels either that they personally are receiving an ayin hara, or giving an ayin hara, so they'd be metakin this mysterious inyan, which we'll try to make some sense of right now, what that means, ayin hara. The way to be mitaki in that mysterious inyan is to raise your eyes up. Raise your eyes up. Ole ayin. To raise your eyes up. And when a person looks up, when a person raises his eyes up, so yes, he doesn't have to fear for ayin hara, he doesn't have to fear giving an ayin hara. So he said, when I was a young child, I thought it was like, tzaddikim could have said anything. They could have said, if you feel like you're getting an ayin hara, Khalil, I'm not trying to make leitzanis of, you understand, we're all friends here. But they could have said, you blow your nose, and when I was a kid, so I raised my eyes, I didn't think about it, he said, when I got older though, I realized that this is an amazing eitzah, and once you hear this Torah from the Rav Shitzer, you'll also understand what it is. The Rav Shitzer said that when a person sees something beautiful in the world, a person sees a fancy car, a fancy house, a smart person, a beautiful child, a beautiful view from a mirpeset that is just like breathtaking. So Chas v'shalom, a person can either give, or if one is the owner of such a thing, they could receive an ayin hara. What's an ayin hara? So the Rav Shitzer says that when you look at something, when we look at something, and we see that thing, a thing of beauty, and we're startled by it, we're startled by the remarkable beauty of that thing, or the remarkable brilliance of that person. So the only reason that we could ever be startled by the beauty or the brilliance of that person or that thing is because we're detaching it from Hashem. As the Torah says, "Hayipale davar me'Hashem," is there anything which is too wondrous or too amazing for Hashem? Is there anything which is too grand for Hashem? In reality, we became so used to seeing the world in a way where beauty is povasham. Like the Gemara says, why are the letters of the Aleph Beis, Aleph Mem and Tav, in the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Aleph Beis? Because MS is a hard thing to come by. You get a little here, and then you have to wait a long time to get to the Mem, and then you have to wait another long time to get to the Tav. Sheker is, Shin Kof Resh, they're all right next to each other. Sheker is plentiful. You don't have to wait a long time to get to the next Sheker. But the world shouldn't really be like that. It shouldn't be that beautiful things, that true things, that lofty things, or only po v'sham, here and there. And the only reason it is like that is because we're still detached from Hashem. We see that the world is being detached from Hashem, like the famous Maisa, Rabbi Nachman, of the poor guy who didn't have anything, and he said to his wife, can I have some of the chicken soup? And she went and she brought him a little cup of water and she poured it into his bowl, and he said, this is the most delicious chicken soup I've had in my life. And, can I have some wine? She knew they didn't have any wine, so she went and she got another cup of water poured, and she said, this is the most delicious wine in the whole world. Can I have my special outdoor coat? My special fur outdoor coat. And she got this tattered jacket and put on, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. How does a person live like that? Because for that simple Pashat Yid, it's not so much what the thing was as much as who he got it from. And he got it from Hashem. So everything he had wasn't detached from Hashem. Everything was startlingly beautiful, but not anything that made me surprised, made me look at it in any funny way. So the Rav Shitzer said, when a person feels like he's giving someone else an ayin hara, because he says, wow, look what this person has. look how beautiful this thing with that person is, look how amazingly intelligent that person is, or look at the good fortune of that, look at the job this person got. So he has to stop himself for a second and say, hold on a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yachol, Hashem can do everything. HaYipaleh Davar MeHashem, is anything too great for Hashem that I should be startled that the world looks good over here? The world should look good everywhere. I should be startled at the things that don't look good. But that the world looks fixed in this place shouldn't be something that startles me. And if somebody's looking at me and says, wow, look at this. Look at this. Look at those payas. Whoa. So then the only thing that a Jew can do when somebody says it to you, you know, a little bit, would have liked it if the Rav Shitzer said, you just roll your eyes. You know, he didn't say. He said, you lift your eyes. Because if you really get it, you just roll your eyes. You're like, it has nothing to do with me. I'm not talking about the payas. I'm saying anything. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. I raise my eyes to the heavens, and whether I actually physically raise my eyes or I'm doing the Hashem is everywhere. When I raise my eyes, I raise my awareness to the fact that I don't understand what's so startling about this. The world is perfect. Hashem is present. That means there should be perfection everywhere. We should both be looking at where there's imperfection, and we should be saying, I don't know. We should be startled by the fact that there's a single corner of the globe where everything is not absolutely perfect, where everyone doesn't have exactly what they need, that there's not a drop of machlokes, that we should be looking at the world and saying, I don't understand, how could there be a corner, an inch of the world that's not 100% perfect? So the Targum in this week's Parsha at the end, in Perek Nun, talks about how Yosef HaTzadik was zocha to live to a decently ripe old age, and he was able to see B'nai Shalashim, he was able to see grandchildren, children of children of children, who were raised al Birkei Yosef, on the laps of Yosef. And the Targum, that Pasuk says, what it means that they were raised on the laps of Yosef, is that they had their bris on Yosef's lap. Yosef was the Sandik by their brises. And there's even a whole pilpul in halacha, because the Ramah says that really you shouldn't have one person be a sandik for two members of the family. But the poskim all say, but for a grandfather it's different. For a grandfather it's different. For a father it's different. Yosef HaTzadik was sandik by all the brises. Can you imagine what that's like to have Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik Yisod Olam, Tikkun HaBris, your sandik. So we're reading it, even if we didn't have it. We're very, very far removed from that in terms of history. This week we're reading the parsha of Birkei Yosef, of the lap of Yosef. We should be startled at our lack of perfection and take for granted that things are perfect where they are. But Motzei Shabbos this week already by Motzei Shabbos, can be the first week of Shovavim. Time to focus on the lap of Yosef. Yosef should be able to hold us up. So I end with one last maisa. And then I think we have to stop. I heard this once. I was zochet by the Talmud Rebbe last year at some point. It was Elchanan Hamachunah B'Shem Ali Erman's son's bar mitzvah. So I went to Talmud to the base manager over there. I walked. It's a good friend of mine from remote. I was zochet to hear the Talmud Rebbe tell a story about Rav David of Talna. And he said, Rav David of Talna. Rav David of Talna said that during that time it was not so pashut. People were being conscripted to all different types of armies. And one of the great zechuyot was there was this child who was born, and he was put onto the lap of Rav David of Talna to be the sandik at the bris. And then the child grew up a little bit, and unfortunately he was conscripted to the army. And many, many years later, when he was all grown up, he ended up somehow back in the Beis Medrash of the Talmud Rebbe, looking nothing much like he did when he was first on the Talmud Rebbe's lap. All grown up, but also having been through a lot of spiritual exile. The Talmud Rebbe said, I could still pick you up and put you on my lap, even though you're an adult, but I could still pick you up and put you on my lap. And the tzaddikim who were there in the Beis Medrash explained that what he was saying is that when a person is a sandik, you carry that person not just for the moment that they're on your lap, but that you carry them ad-dori-dori. So if Yosef HaTzadik had all of his children on his lap, and the Gemara says we're all Mibanov Shal Yosef HaTzadik, so then Yosef HaTzadik is still carrying us. He was the Sandik by us, and he's still carrying us like the Talmud Rebbe was carrying that soldier. That's a big thing to be carried by Yosef HaTzadik, especially at this time of year, and especially at this time in history. To be carried by Yosef HaTzadik, Shvizucha, to be Ole Ayin, to raise our eyes high, Tarti Mashma, raise our eyes high above, raise our eyes high, Shvizucha to the Gula Shlema. Amen.